The ongoing discussion of mental health and the criminal justice system took another step in Jackson County this week. The election on Tuesday sent the county's vision of a larger jail down to defeat. 71% of votes went against the plan for a new jail taxing district. There's little dispute that a bigger jail is needed in the greater Medford area, but among the concerns over a larger lockup is the provision of mental health services for people who are in crisis but not criminals. Do they belong in jail? Mental health advocates say no. The National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, Southern Oregon chapter, presented its ideas before the election, and those ideas remain on the table. Pam Ames with NAMI Southern Oregon is here to talk about the vision. Pam, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
I am thrilled to be back. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Sure. We talked to you early last month about a forum called Care Not Cuffs, which pretty much spelled things out. I mean, NAMI was already on the record at that point as opposing the jail measure. What were the major deficiencies you saw?
The primary deficiency is that the jail measure did not include any diversion programs designed to help keep people out of jail in the first place, specifically people suffering with mental illness or substance use disorder. And we feel very strongly that the county needs to address more root problems rather than punishing those whose behavior stems from treatable conditions like those two. Obviously, that doesn't include everyone who winds up in jail, but it does include a significant percentage of those who end up there.
I have to believe that NAMI Southern Oregon had some chats with the county anyway, with county leaders, as the jail measure was being crafted. Did you have those chats, and what kind of responses did you get?
We did have chats, yes. There was a long lead-up, of course, to the election, and many meetings around the valley about it, and NAMI was represented at nearly all of those meetings. We found that the commissioners were not terribly receptive to our ideas, with the possible exception of one, and she wound up opposing the measure primarily on economic grounds, not on the same grounds that we opposed it on. However, having said that, NAMI did have economics in mind, given that the budget for Jackson County was going to be so decimated by this larger jail plan for so many years that a special tax district would be created and that people would be expected to contribute a much larger share in their property taxes. So that was a component of our opposition, but not its primary focus.
Well, there are two particular things that you are on the record of favoring at NAMI Southern Oregon, and NAMI again is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, a full-time psychiatric crisis center and a crisis team for the streets. Let's take them in turn with the psychiatric center first. There is a crisis center now, is that right, but it's not full-time?
That's correct, exactly. In fact, there are there is a crisis center right now during this COVID pandemic that exists in the Health and Human Services building on Holly Street, Medford. It is a walk-in, now remote, crisis counseling, 8 to 5. It operates with only one of the coordinated care organizations out of the two that provide care in this county.
And those are important because those provide the Medicaid services, the Oregon
exactly.
Health Plan, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they take some but not all insurances. That last statement is a ubiquitous problem across the spectrum of services available.
Is that not improving? Just a little side note there. I mean, mental health services are supposed to be lifted to on par with physical health services by the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare.
That's true. They are supposed to be. They haven't reached that point. So some services may be available to all insurances or even uninsured individuals. This particular one is not. There is also an office staffed by one qualified mental health professional in the Health and Human Services building during work hours only, and that is a crisis office.
All right. So if your crisis is 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, from the sounds of it, you have a place to go.
You're good. Yes. In addition, there is a phone crisis line that Jackson County Mental Health runs, and that is 24/7. We are not aware of who is staffing that, whether it's a qualified mental health professional or someone with a lesser degree or a lesser amount of training. But those are the crisis services available at the moment.
Now, can people, Pam, be taken to the emergency room at Rogue Regional Medical Center and admitted to the psych facility there?
Well, under certain circumstances. And I think you know this already, Jeffrey, because we've had these discussions in past years. But the magic words that will get you into that facility are that you must be a danger to yourself or others.
Mm-hmm.
That criteria still holds. It has not been changed. One of the many things NAMI works on is changing that criteria for entry into residential care, residential intensive hospital-based care. It's like letting the cows out of the barn and then saying, oh, but you have to have the cows out of the barn before we can do anything at all for you. So it's problematic.
All right. So what would be the circumstances in which people would go to a crisis center?
If they were in what we call psychosis, which is an acute episode of disordered thinking, it could include hallucinations, both auditory or visual. It could include what we call manic episodes or hypomanic episodes, and those are connected primarily with bipolar disorder, where the thought is disordered, but it's not necessarily connected to a hallucination. It could be a major depressive episode where someone is thinking about suicide or is so depressed that someone else decides they need care and takes them to the hospital or seeks services. Those are some of the aspects of psychosis which would drive someone to seek services.
Mm-hmm. Now, could people take themselves there? Would they be taken there? Would police sometimes take them there?
All three.
Uh-huh.
Could happen all three ways. Now, there are some facilities in town, or I should say in the Valley, but most of them are in Medford, that you have to be referred into by a medical professional. But the one I'm referring to is Beckett Center, and how it's operating right now during the COVID crisis, I don't know. It has 12 beds, and it's considered a step-down residential facility after someone is discharged from the hospital. But, you know, there's the rub. You can't get in there
mm-hmm.
unless you've already been in the hospital.
So it sounds like the overall approach at this idea of a crisis center is just different from what I think a lot of us assume happens where somebody gets into crisis, you know, they have to go someplace is the sense. And this sounds like a much softer touch all around.
I guess it's a softer touch. I'm not sure what people have in mind when they think about a crisis center, but what we're advocating for is a place people can go to where there won't necessarily be a qualified mental health professional. That would depend on the type of crisis center you have in your area, but would be staffed by two people all day, all night. There wouldn't necessarily have to be beds because not all crisis centers are residential crisis centers. They can be an overnight peer counseling even
mm-hmm.
or have a kitchen and showers and someone to talk to about your crisis and ways to understand where you can go to receive services.
So the vision of the amenities is not necessarily fixed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
We are talking with Pam Ames from NAMI Southern Oregon, NAMI being the National Alliance on Mental Illness, about the aftermath of the rejection of the jail taxing district option put on the ballot before Jackson County voters this week. 71% said no, so at the moment there is no firm plan for moving ahead for a new Jackson County jail. NAMI Southern Oregon would like to see some more psychiatric services, as you're hearing. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a phone call from Kevin in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just thought I'd add my two cents to the conversation. I actually have a really severe type of PTSD that occasionally makes my life very challenging. And I went to the Jackson County Mental Health Crisis Services some time ago trying to get help when I was struggling with really pervasive suicidality. And I had a really wonderful intake session with them. And the woman who did the intake said, yes, this is a major problem. We need to address it. And we walked out to the appointment calendar, and it was the first appointment that they could see me was 6 weeks later.
Wow.
The system is profoundly broken. The whole mental health care system in Oregon, but especially in Southern Oregon, is deeply challenged. There's an organization called MentalHealthAmerica.net that rates all the different states on provision of mental health care for adults and children, and the state of Oregon is consistently at the bottom of those lists over and over in all sorts of different ranges where they're looking. So we have some major problems we're not addressing, and people aren't talking about it. I'm deeply grateful that you're bringing this up for the radio show, but there's a lot more to talk about.
All right, a lot further depth in this. Thanks for that, Kevin. Appreciate this. So Pam, it's not a Jackson County issue from what Kevin is saying. It's an Oregon problem.
It definitely is. It's interesting when you begin to unpack the statistics behind Kevin's statement. I'm familiar with Mental Health America and have seen the charts and statistics, and the component rankings that make up the overall ranking for states include things like provision of care or accessibility to care, and Oregon ranks quite well compared to the prevalence of mental illness in the state, which I believe is what causes Oregon to be at the bottom of the barrel from an overall ranking standpoint. It's not intuitive. I think it's counterintuitive, but my take on that is that it has to do with basic issues around poverty.
Mm-hmm. So what would cut into the what Kevin found, which is 6 weeks for an appointment for somebody who's been having some seriously suicidal thoughts? I mean, are we talking about a greater number of psychiatric facilities provided by government? Are we talking about greater availability for psychiatric services through the Oregon Health Plan that would perhaps add more counselors? I mean, where do you think the effort should go, and who's going to pay for it?
Well, I think that a multi-pronged effort is probably our best bet, but also, right at this moment, probably a losing battle economically. So, as you know, NAMI has been advocating for crisis assistance, helping out on streets type model.
Oh, that's CAHOOPS. That's the other part of the...
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's been in operation for 30 years in Eugene. It's a comprehensive care program, including mobile crisis response teams. They have 500 hours of training in mental illness, substance use disorders, and emergency medical training, so they are able to defuse crises on their own without law enforcement help or qualified mental health professional help all the time.
So how do the CAHOOTS teams work? I mean, do they travel with police or travel independently?
They do not. Mm-hmm. They do not travel with police.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike our livability team here, which is law enforcement based, this program is not law enforcement based. It is crisis training in crisis trained individuals going out to the streets, finding the people where they know they live, and addressing crisis at the moment without the added paranoia layer of involving law enforcement, which is very important for people with mental illness because their experience and their knowledge and the news about mental illness and law enforcement does not comfort them.
Sure.
So, and these mobile crisis response teams operate at a cost of $1.8 million a year and have saved Lane County $15 million and prevented emergency department visits. So in this budget environment where Governor Brown has asked the legislature to find a way to cut the budget by 8.5%, we feel that our low budget solutions such as this and the psychiatric crisis center is a relatively low budget solution as well, will help accomplish the governor's goals of cutting the budget while making for more efficient treatment methods available.
Pam Ames is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with NAMI Southern Oregon, NAMI being the National Alliance on Mental Illness. You can join the conversation as we talk about psychiatric services and where the folks at NAMI feel they should go now that the jail proposal, at least in its original form, has been rejected. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So you anticipated a question I had about how do you make a case for this in the midst of budget cuts, and the answer is you think they're right in line with helping save money.
We do. And these have been our suggestions all along, way before COVID came into our lives. We feel as though if we were allowed to be a part of a community stakeholder group planning and addressing the need for the new jail and alternatives to incarceration, such as community-based mobile services, like what I was just describing, that it would be a far better way to get the jail built and serve the needs of people in the community suffering with mental illness.
Let's expand that focus then, because the idea of people in the community with mental illness, it's somebody else, I think, in a lot of people's estimation, but there are lots of people who've been feeling different stresses from having to shelter in place, lockdown, quarantine, whatever you want to call it, but they're spending a lot more time doing things they didn't used to do. I just wonder if you're getting a lot of contact at NAMI from people who are seeking services, seeking answers, seeking help.
Well, that's an interesting point, and of course one that we've been talking about nationally, I think. And one of the things that I wanted to let you know on this program is that NAMI has instituted a compassion committee where we designate one member of NAMI every day to answer a phone, to talk to anyone who feels the need for more human interaction, people who are very much more isolated than they want to be or than their mental health can tolerate, can call our NAMI Compassion Committee and talk to someone. This is obviously not going to solve the entire problem, but it is a piece that we've put into place. And I don't know, aside from the crisis counseling on the phone that JCMH offers, I mentioned that earlier, mm-hmm. I don't know what other organizations in the Valley are offering right now, but I have put a phone call into La Clinica asking what they offer. They are concerned and see a lot of people with mental health diagnoses. So I hope perhaps on your next segment we'll be able to give you some information about other services that are available.
Always looking for help with people with mental health. I did just dig up the Jackson County I'm not sure the right number here. Yeah, Jackson County Mental Health, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The crisis line is 541-774-8201, 541-774-8201. Now, is that's not the number people would call for the Compassion Committee of NAMI, is it?
No, I'll give you that is the NAMI phone number, and I'll give that to you right now.
Okay.
It's 541-774-7872. Mm-hmm.
774-7872. Okay, a bunch of phone numbers here. I'll put these on our website, which I know might not be a huge help, but let me give that again for the folks who don't have internet access and are thinking, give me the number again. Here it is, 541-774-7872. 774-7872. That's NAMI's phone number, and you can reach the person on the Compassion Committee for the day. And then Jackson County Mental Health Crisis Line, I'll repeat that again, 541-774-8201, 541-774-8201. And while I'm at it, let me just dig up the National Suicide Hotline, because there is that too, and that works everywhere, so we're not just leaving out the people from outside Jackson County. 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255. If you look at the letters on your phone, it's 800-273-TALK. 800-273-8255. Pan Ames, there's always stuff to talk about. We'll talk to you again in the future, I'm confident.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Pam Ames from NAMI Southern Oregon. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today. One more time with the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If this is something you feel like you or somebody else in your household needs, 800-273-8255. This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Second hour coming up.